Our brother Lou Locklear is to deliver the word of exhortation this morning. His subject title is The Ministry of Jeremiah. He has asked us to read Jeremiah chapter 1 in preparation for his remarks. Jeremiah chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of Yahweh came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord Yahweh, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But Yahweh said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith Yahweh. Then Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And Yahweh said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said Yahweh unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of Yahweh came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then Yahweh said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith Yahweh, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and who have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith Yahweh, to deliver thee. Let's give our attention to Brother Luke.
In taking a closer look at the ministry of Jeremiah, one begins to recognize some very remarkable similarities in the circumstances and the conditions in the events that are recorded that happen in other dispensations as well, in particular in the days of Messiah and our day as well. When we consider the prophets in the Scriptures, there's a tendency to look at them as some sort of automaton, acting as some type of spiritual robot. It's a sad mistake to see them in that light when they truly experience a spectrum of emotions in carrying out their ministry. The interests and the alarm, the hopes and the fears, the joy and the sorrow, the sympathy, the love, and the hatred of that which is wrong. I believe a great part of what they felt was frustration. Frustration at the people who would not try to understand what the prophets understood. Here in Jeremiah, it was a frustration that so many of the people didn't care and would not heed the message that the prophet put forth. And it is at this point that we need to hear and to listen to his message. For we will find that the times of Jeremiah are a direct parallel to ours. We cannot afford to treat the very powerful principles set forth in the ministry of Jeremiah with the same indifference as the majority of those that he spoke to. He lived in a time when there was great apathy concerning the things of God. It was one of the most turbulent eras in the nation. It was a time of the end. If ever there was a time when the people should have been aware of the times and seasons and heeded the words of the prophets, it was the time of Jeremiah. He lived in the time of the end. He would witness the destruction of the nation, of Jerusalem, and of the people because they would not turn and walk in the old paths. Brethren, we live in the time of the end. We hear this constantly today. The Lord's coming is very near. But are we really listening? We agree and we say this is very true. But what impact does it make upon us? So we find ourselves standing in a time that is a parallel to Jeremiah's. A time like when the prophet went forth prophesying that judgment was coming upon the house of God. The prophetic word in the Old and New Testament cry out to us also that we are living in the last times. Above all, what we can say about these prophets of Yahweh is that they were men very rich and very strong in faith. God did not randomly pick men off the street and say, "You're going to be my prophet." He has requirements that must be present in the character of those he chooses to proclaim his word. And he always chooses men of the truth, men of faith. Even with all their flaws and weaknesses of character, they were men whom God could rely upon as men of the truth. How does this tie in to their ministry? Hosea records, "I have spoken by my prophets, I have multiplied visions, and have used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets." If we look in a dictionary, we find ministry defined as the act of serving. Quite a simple definition. But it's not as close and not as precise as the Hebrew we find for minister or ministry here. The word is yod, which signifies an open hand, indicative of action and therefore representative of power or the means of direction. The prophets were representatives of the Creator of all things, El or Ael, the one true source of power. We also find that the numerical value for Yod is 10, the number of salvation. It also signifies and can signify the hands, which have 10 fingers, or the toes, or the feet, which have 10 toes. So it speaks of a work of salvation. So the work of Jeremiah was the work of salvation. We note a quality of his character that was common among the prophets, and that very much defines what Yahweh looks for in one who serves him. Let's consider what's recorded here in Jeremiah chapter 1, starting at verse 4. Then the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, "Before I formed thee, in the belly I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Then said I, "Ah, Lord Yahweh, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." But Yahweh said unto me, "Say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith Yahweh." Jeremiah's words did not indicate a lack or willingness or a lack of willingness on his part. It did reveal a rather timid man who was restrained and unassuming. In our day, Jeremiah would have been the type of brother who would have been very happy to work in the truth, someone who would have sat in the back of the hall, happy to do any work that comes their way. Jeremiah did not feel suited to the enormous task that Yahweh had placed before him. There was a level of awe and fear. When Moses received his commission, he said, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." Moses is saying he's not the one to send to the people, that he didn't have what was required. "Lord, you need to send someone else." But Yahweh tells him, "You're the one I've chosen." So Jeremiah felt himself unfit to the task. But let us note that this is a first-rate spiritual quality. If there is a quality to be frightened of, it's when a brother says, "Well, that's a very important position. It's quite responsible, and I'm the man for it." Jeremiah went into this ministry in a state of complete humility. He knew that if he were to succeed in that work, he would have to rely on a power that was greater than himself, a power that comes from Yahweh only. And the lesson for us, brethren, is that we must allow the potter to shape and mold us. We must rely on the wisdom that is from above to direct our paths. This wisdom is higher than mere human wisdom, for it will seek Yahweh's viewpoint in all things. It does not depend on natural shrewdness, but upon faith in God. The prophet Jeremiah was born in Anathoth of the priestly family in the line of Abiathar. He was therefore authorized and appointed to teach the people, as Aaron and his sons were told to do in Leviticus, teach the children of Israel and all the statutes that Yahweh has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. But to that authority and appointment, God added to Jeremiah the extraordinary commission of a prophet, that the people might be taught the good and right way, as Samuel describes it, that they would ask for the old paths, as we find described in the 6th chapter of Jeremiah. Easton's Bible Dictionary tells us that Jeremiah's name signifies raised up or appointed by Jehovah, or Yahweh as we would say, while Fawcett gleans from Jerome and Docinius exalted of Yahweh or appointed of Yahweh. We may conclude from these definitions that the name Jeremiah signifies he whom Yah appoints and exalts. He was appointed to a very specific mission to the Jews who remained in Jerusalem throughout the invasion by the Babylonians. Many look upon Jeremiah as a prophet of doom. If we study carefully his words, do we find him as a prophet of doom or as a prophet of judgment and of the glories to come? It certainly was doom for the people of Judah and Jerusalem. But nonetheless, this was the final opportunity to repent as Jeremiah proclaimed the judgments of Yahweh. His message was a message of judgment, but also very much a message of the glories to come. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah 33, starting at verse 14. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby she shall be called, Yahweh, our righteousness. This is the branch growing out of the rod of the stem of Jesse that Isaiah speaks of. What an encouraging vision. At the appearance, there shall be righteousness in the land. And this vision extends beyond Israel as well. Let's turn back to chapter 23. Chapter 23 and verse 5. Behold, the day comes, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgments and justice in the earth. We usually associate the word earth here, which is Eretz, with the land of Israel. But it can also signify the whole earth. Again, a vision of hope and encouragement. A vision of the kingdom. His ministry was one of the longest among the prophets. The length is defined to us back in chapter 1. Verses 2 and 3. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem, captive in the 5th month. His ministry begins in the 13th year of Josiah's reign. And Josiah's reign lasted for 31 years. So the first 18 years of Jeremiah's ministry occurs in the reign of Josiah. And we note that Josiah began his reformation in the 12th year of his reign. 1 year later, Jeremiah receives his commission. Obviously, Yahweh knew that the people's heart was not in it, nor did they support the Reformation. We find next that Jehoahaz was made king after his father's death. He reigned for only 3 months and was removed from the throne by Pharaoh Necho, whose army had slain Josiah. Necho then places Eliakim on the throne, who we come to know as Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim reigns for 11 years. And was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. We find the next king is Jehoiakim's son, Jehoiachin, who's placed on the throne by Nebuchadnezzar. And his reign was for 3 months and 10 days. And Nebuchadnezzar has to come back and remove him from the throne. Zedekiah, Jehoiachin's uncle, is placed on the throne by Nebuchadnezzar and is made to swear an oath to God that his allegiance would be to the king of Babylon. But Zedekiah was stiff-necked and hard-hearted and rebelled against the king of Babylon. His rule lasted 11 years until Nebuchadnezzar had enough of the nation of Judah and its kings and came and destroyed it. So this puts Jeremiah's ministry at over 40 years, from the reign of a righteous king until the destruction of the city where Yahweh had once placed his name. Where we read in Ezekiel concerning Zedekiah, "And thou profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come when iniquity shall have an end, thus saith Adonai Yahweh, remove the diadem, take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low, and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he who comes, whose right it is, and I will give it him." The words spoken by Jeremiah, and again we remember that these are words of Yahweh, also carry a message that speaks of the kingdom age as revealed in the apocalypse. We read in Jeremiah 1 and verse 10, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." His words were not exclusive to Judah in his ministry, but to the Gentiles as well. For we find in chapter 25 and in chapter 46, Jeremiah prophesying against the Gentiles. In chapter 47, he prophesies against the Philistines. In chapter 48, he speaks against Moab. In chapter 49, he speaks concerning Ammon, the Ammonites, Edom, Damascus, Kedar, Elam. And finally, in chapters 50 and 51, he speaks against Babylon. In chapter 51, Jeremiah proclaims the following words of Yahweh, which echo throughout the world in our time as well. "For we, as Jeremiah, live in the time of the end." Jeremiah 51, starting at verse 17. "All mankind," and this is from the NASB, "all mankind is stupid." We think that a rather stark statement, but understand how it's being said here. "All mankind is stupid, devoid of knowledge." They did not have the right understanding. "Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like these. For the maker of all is he, and of the tribe of his inheritance, Yahweh of hosts is his name. He says, you are my war club, my weapon of war, and with you I shatter nations, and with you I destroy kingdoms." So we find that Jeremiah was a reproving prophet sent in Yahweh's name to tell Judah of their sins and to warn them of the judgments of Yahweh that were coming upon them, as well as a warning to the other nations as well. He was a mournful spectator to the sins of his people and of the desolating judgments that were coming upon them. And for this reason, perhaps those who imagined our Savior to be one of the prophets thought him to be most like Jeremiah. Let's turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16 at verse 13. "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. there's a common statement that we can say about both Jeremiah and our Lord, is that they were both men of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So we find that Jeremiah was very much a type of Christ. As we examine his book, we find the similarities are quite striking. I think we'll take a look here at a few of them. They were both men of sorrows. Jeremiah chapter 15. Verse 15. O Yahweh, thou knowest, remember me, and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. And again, the words in Isaiah 53, prophetic of the Messiah. At verse 3, we read, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Very similar descriptions of both men. Both men spoke the same prophecies concerning the temple. And we note that they both began their ministry 40 years before the destruction of the temple. And they both spoke of the abominable conditions found in the temple. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 11. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith Yahweh. And our Lord quotes these exact words here to the Jews of his generation, when once again the temple was found in abominable condition. Mark chapter 11, verse 17. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. They also both spoke of the destruction of the temple. Jeremiah chapter 7, starting at verse 13. And now because ye have done all these works, saith Yahweh, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus saith unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Both men spoke the words of Yahweh. In chapter 1, which we read earlier, Jeremiah is told that then Yahweh put his hand forth and touched my mouth. And Yahweh said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And in John chapter 12, verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. They both prophesied of Jerusalem's destruction. Jeremiah 19 and verse 8. I will make this city desolate and in hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. In Luke 21 and verse 24, they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And they both also spoke of the glories to come concerning Jerusalem. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17. And at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of Yahweh, and all nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of Yahweh, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imaginations of their evil heart. And in Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 34, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of a great king. Both men had the conviction of faith that Yahweh would save them. Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15, verse 20. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced and brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith Yahweh. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. As Christ hung on that crucifixion stake, the people mocked him, not knowing the truth of their statement. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. There are many, many more types that we can find that are parallels between Jeremiah and our Lord. We find that at the beginning of his ministry, Jeremiah is given two visions which set the foundation for his ministry. Let's turn back to chapter 1 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1, verses 11 and 12. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then saith Yahweh unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. The word almond tree in verse 11 is shaked in the Hebrew. It means the watcher. The Jews have come to call it the waking tree or the early watching tree, since it was the first tree to awake from the slumber of winter and to generate blossoms. Jacinius states that it signifies haste and ardor here in this verse in Jeremiah, ardor being intense emotion. See the truth of this in the 12th verse, where Yahweh tells Jeremiah, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Hasten in this verse is the Hebrew word shaked, which is the verb form and root form of shaked. What we apparently have here is a play on words. For Rotherham translates this, for keeping watch am I over my word to perform it. For keeping watch am I over my word to perform it. Jeremiah is being told that Yahweh has set his word before the people. He was sending Jeremiah and others. Zephaniah, we know, prophesied in the days of Josiah as well. So Yahweh was going to send his messengers among the people, and he was going to watch his word and see how the people responded to it. He would send forth the message of salvation. Now, what would the people do? Well, Yahweh already knew. And this comes out in the second sign starting in verse 13. And the word of Yahweh came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is towards the north. Then Yahweh said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith Yahweh, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. A seething pot. Seething here carries the primary idea of to blow hard upon. And we know that if we blow hard upon a fire, it stokes the fire and it grows hotter and hotter, making the contents, in this case, of that pot or cauldron to boil over. So this is symbolically represents agitation and judgment. We have a warning here of desolation, of destruction, of war. So this boiling pot is seething with its contents tilting from the north, which points to something coming from Babylon. It was a destructive force that was ready to boil over and to flow down upon the kingdom of Judah. With those words, Yahweh gives Jeremiah encouragement in the last three verses of this chapter. Thou therefore, gird up thy loins, arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, a brazen wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Jeremiah would find that the people would not gladly receive his word. They would do everything they could to undermine his position, to speak out against him, to destroy his work, a work which the people would see as ungrateful and unpatriotic. Despite these difficulties, the remaining words of verse 19 tell Jeremiah, For I am with thee, saith Yahweh, to deliver thee. Here we have the reason for Jeremiah's complete confidence and faith in Yahweh. For if anything has been revealed to us in Scripture, it is Yahweh's complete fidelity to His Word. We conclude with verse 1 of this chapter. We believe that we have an acrostic or a message contained in the names that are given in this first verse. For those who would make Jeremiah's ministry nothing more than a proclamation of doom, we find that the very introduction of this book, the first thing presented to us, is a message that tells us of the coming Savior and the Redeemer of Israel. Not doom, but hope. We also find in this verse that it contains a message of hope and salvation. It contains the gospel message for all to hear and believe. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin. Jeremiah's name we've already considered means he whom Yah appoints and exalts. He is the son of Hilkiah. In the days of Josiah, the high priest's name was Hilkiah. Possibly be Jeremiah's father? Probably not. But Hilkiah means my portion is Yah, which is very appropriate to one who serves as a priest. In Numbers 18, in verse 20 and 21, we read, And Yahweh spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in the land, neither shalt thou have any portion among them. I am thy portion and thine inheritance. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. So Yahweh was their portion. We might ask ourselves, what is our portion in this life? Jeremiah came from Anathoth, which means answered prayer, in the land of Benjamin, which means the son of the right hand. So we have presented here three messages, yet one and the same message. A message of God manifestation. A message of salvation. The first message is that of the coming Messiah. He whom Yah appoints and exalts, whose portion is Yah, whose prayer is answered, is the Son of His right hand. Speaking of Christ. And we find similarly, we can apply this to Jeremiah as well. For we've looked in some of the examples there, he is very much a type of Christ. He whom Yah appoints and exalts, whose portion is Yah, whose prayer is answered, is a type of the Son of the right hand. And finally, a message that Yahweh places before us and sets forth our hope. A hope that is constantly set before us in the book of Jeremiah. He whom Yah appoints and exalts, whose portion is Yah, whose prayers He answers, Yah will elevate them to the Son of His right hand. Not only was Messiah coming, not only was Jeremiah a type of He who was to come, but the hope of salvation itself was being held out to the people of Judah and to us as well. He whom Yah appoints and exalts, whose portion is Yah, whose prayers He answers, Yah will elevate them to the Son of His right hand. For I am with thee, saith Yahweh, to deliver thee.
Thank you, Brother Lou. An excellent exhortation on Jeremiah. And indeed, he is a wonderful type of our Lord. And we'll look at some more of those comparisons in just a moment. Let's enter into our memorial service with the singing together of hymn 100. Beyond where Kedron's waters flow, behold the suffering Savior go to sad Gethsemane. His countenance is all divine, yet grief appears in every line. Hymn 100. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. It's now time, brethren, for us to remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Master in the bread and the wine before us. And we can continue in the thoughts that our brother Lou started with this morning to prepare our minds in this service. For indeed, in many ways, Jeremiah was typical of our Lord's life. And in many instances, he was typical of the sacrifice of which the Lord would offer. As our brother Lou said, Jeremiah's name means Yahweh appoints or exalts. I would add to that, or raises up. We know that our Lord Jesus was indeed appointed for a specific task, to offer himself as the Lamb of God, as a sin offering for those who would heed his words and would associate themselves with his work of redemption. He was and will be exalted. He will be exalted one day upon this earth, and he has been exalted to the right hand of the Father now to be there to plead on our behalf. He also was raised up in resurrection, and he will be raised up in honor before all men in the future. Both Jeremiah and Christ were known before their births, and their work was set forth. Jeremiah 1:5 said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." In Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, of Jesus we read, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And in chapter 17 of John, at the third verse, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Brother Lou took our minds to the fact that both men were men of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He read for us Jeremiah 15:15, which says, "O Yahweh, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke." And Isaiah 53:3 prophesied of the Lord, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Both Jeremiah and our Lord called the people to repentance, as we have been called to repentance. In chapter 4 of Jeremiah, in the first four verses, we read, "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith Yahweh, return unto me. And if thou put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, Yahweh liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they give glory. For thus saith Yahweh to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to Yahweh, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn, that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings." In contrast to this, in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, we read, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Sadly, as the Lord was hated, Jeremiah was hated by his own countrymen. In chapter 18 of Jeremiah, and in verse 23, "Yet Yahweh, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thy anger." And this was indeed only typical of the hatred that Jesus' brethren felt for him. In John chapter 15 and verse 18, the Lord said, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." Both men are described as being like lambs. Jeremiah in chapter 11, verses 18 and 19. "And Yahweh hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showest me their doings. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered." John the Baptist, speaking of Christ, said in chapter 1 and verse 36, "In looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God." Jeremiah was scourged by the priest, condemned by the people. In Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 30, we read that he was put in stocks by those priests who would scourge him and condemn him. And in Matthew 27, we find that Jesus was also scourged by the priest and delivered to be crucified. In Matthew 27 and verse 26, we read, "Then released he Barabbas unto them, And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Jeremiah was mocked by his brethren. In chapter 20 and verse 7, we read, Yahweh, I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. And in Luke 23 and verse 11 of Christ, it is said, And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. They were both condemned to death by their people, but both were noted that they were not worthy of the deaths to which they were condemned. Jeremiah 26 and verse 16 of Jeremiah, it is said, Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, This man is not worthy to die, for he hath spoken to us in the name of Yahweh our God. And in Mark chapter 15 and verse 14, Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. Jeremiah suffered a symbolic death and resurrection, typical of the death of our Lord. In chapter 38, in verse 6, Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamilech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sunk in the mire. And we know of Jesus, it is written in Matthew 16, in verse 24, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He knew that indeed he would be put to death. But as Brother Lou pointed out, both men trusted in Yahweh that he would save them. And likewise, we now come to take part of this memorial service, to partake of the bread and the wine, because we know and are convinced that through the death of our Master, the opportunity has been bestowed upon us for salvation. We remember that through the things that he endured, being a man of sorrow, being the Lamb of God, being scourged and mocked by the people, that he set himself up as a sacrifice for each and every one of us. In looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's stand, and I'll call upon Brother Dan Stevens to come forward and offer thanksgiving for the bread.
Christ Yahweh, most gracious, eternal Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we bow now before thee in memory of the sacrifice of your most obedient Son. We see in this emblem body broken for our sakes, his will subjected to thine. That we may have life and have it more abundantly. Thank thee for this way unto thee. I ask that we will be encouraged by his example to be strong, to stand fast, not fear what man can do unto us, but to instead look beyond and pray a great day of exaltation that we long for, when he will be exalted. By your grace and mercy, we can be a part in him. We ask that you will forgive us when we fall short. Be with us. Lead us up to that day. Through his name, your beloved Son, and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Let's stand and we'll call upon Brother Bill Rott to give thanksgiving for the wine.
Loving, righteous Father, we bow before thee to thank thee again for this time of remembrance, time of this memorial service in which our thoughts pass to the life and the means of the death of thy most holy Son. We pray as we partake of this emblem, the wine that is set before us, that we do see the symbol of blood shed even from the very beginning as forgiveness of sin. We pray that we might always discern symbols, that we may remember the sacrifice that thou hast given as a forgiveness of sin. Strengthen and guide us that we might be rejoined next week, if it be thy will, and send thy Son soon to this earth to establish that kingdom, that we might have a part therein. In all things we do ask and pray through his name, thy only Son, our coming King and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
We'll bring our services to a close this morning, joining together in singing hymn 231. O blessed are the eyes that see the living way to grasp the glorious prize of everlasting day. After which, Brother Aaron Strickland, will you offer a closing prayer? Hymn 231.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. At the conclusion of these services today, we thank thee for this opportunity to assemble together, to learn and expound our understanding of thy plan and purpose with this earth in our Sunday school classes, to hear words of encouragement and exhortation, and to remember thy Son. We look to thee for the provision of all things, the gift of the knowledge of thy truth, our food, our homes, and all of the many and wonderful and varied blessings that are provided at thy hand. Watch over us, we pray, and help us to serve thee appropriately, to change ourselves to be more in line with the example set forth in thy Son. For we recognize, like him and like thy servant Jeremiah, the grief is but for a time before exaltation. We pray that you will help us to stand fast against those struggles with the flesh, that we might be permitted to serve thee in that kingdom age. All these things we pray and ask in and through his name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.